Jaffe is executive director of the mentalillnesspolicy.org and author of Insane Consequences, How the Mental Health Industry Fails the Mentally Ill.
The providers themselves are in a very tough place because the policies come from above. What my objection is that the mental health industry is misleading the politicians. So the mental health industry, for instance, after a tragedy, they'll say the mentally ill are no more violent than others, thereby giving politicians an incentive to not reduce violence. But the untreated, seriously mentally ill are more prone to violence. They'll also tell politicians that everyone recovers. And yet there are some people who don't recover. Or in New York, they just got a tax check off. So taxpayers can check off on their tax form whether they want a dollar to go to mental illness. But they're having that money go to stigma, not housing. Housing is much more a barrier to care than stigma is. But because they got the tax check off on stigma, now they'll get the contracts to run the stigma campaigns.
And you actually have stated that the anti-stigma campaigns are not working.
They're not only not working, I believe they're actually harmful. What they do is they say everyone can recover. And that is not true. It's like trying to raise money to eliminate hunger by only showing the well-fed, because they're designed to downplay the severity of the illness and the impact it has on people who have them. But they generally say that stigma is the most important barrier to care. The homeless psychotic guy who's eating out of a dumpster isn't avoiding care because he fears what his fellow dumpster diver friends will think of him. He's avoiding care because there's no care available for him. If you're a mental health commissioner, the best thing you can have happen is for someone with serious mental illness gets arrested. That person goes off your budget and onto the criminal justice budget. And in New York, the number is like four or five times as many seriously mentally ill, not people with mental health problems, incarcerated as there are hospitalized.
So what's the best to decriminalize mental illness?
Well, there are several things we need to do. First of all, change civil commitment laws so that they prevent dangerous behavior rather than require it. And there are other standards like need for treatment, grave disability, lack of capacity that various states have used, but all states should use. The second thing we need to do is we certainly need to increase hospitals. We should have 50 beds per 100,000. And in many areas, you know, it's down to 11 or it's even down to less than that. Because beds are allocated to forensic patients and therefore aren't really available. And the third thing we have to do is implement assisted outpatient treatment, which is known as Kendra's Law in New York. And that's been very successful at keeping people out of prison.
And tell us about that. It allows a person to be ordered into treatment, but not into a hospital per se?
Yeah. What it does is if somebody already has a history of becoming homeless, arrested, incarcerated, violent, needlessly hospitalized as a result of their refusal to accept mental illness treatment, it allows courts, after full due process, to order the person into 6 months or a year of mandated and monitored treatment while they continue to live in the community. So this has been shown to reduce homelessness, arrest, incarceration, needless hospitalization in the 70% range because it cuts down on the use of hospitals and jails. It cuts the cost to taxpayers by 50%. And that has held true in both rural and urban areas and throughout the country wherever it's been tried. There's frankly no other program I know that's been as successful at helping the absolute most seriously ill. And you have to understand it's only a small percent of the population that needs it.
So what is your best advice for families that are caught up in those situations?
Well, there are two things. First of all, I'd try to get them to cooperate. And specifically, I would read a book called I'm Not Sick, I Don't Need Help by Javier Amador. which helps parents learn how to possibly get someone who won't accept treatment, If that doesn't fail and the program is not admitting the person, then what you have to do is go over their head, basically, and you have to write to who's ever in charge and say very specifically what you want and that it's their responsibility to deliver it. And I have a whole fact sheet on our website about how to get care when the mental health system won't deliver it.
DJ, it was a pleasure to speak with you about your book and about this topic, and we look forward to your Buffalo visit.
Thanks, and thanks for having me on and caring about the seriously ill.